the battery for this afternoon, for those who just tuned in, the starting battery for the Giants with Fitzsimmons and Mancuso. And for the Yanks, it's Hadley and Dickey. He's going to be delayed for just a moment. You know, Dickey was on base. It's going to take him a few moments to get his catching paraphernalia adjusted. Now he has it. And in just a few moments, we'll be starting the first half of the third inning. And third baseman Travis Jackson, who is the captain of the Giants, will be first up. There's the toss down to second, but it was high over Lazzari's head, out of the center field, and the ball has to be retrieved out there by Joe DiMaggio. Capacity crowd here at Yankee Stadium for this third game of the 1936 Blue Ribbon Classic. And the score at the end of two innings, the Yanks won, the Giants nothing, result of Gehrig's homer. First half of the third, and Travis Jackson, a right-hand batter, will lead off. Hadley starts to wind up, and here we go. A ball. Ball missed the outside corner of the plate, and the count on Jackson is one and nothing. Pitcher Fitzsimmons will be next. There's a bounding ball down third, a top ball. Rolf has it, the throw. He's out. Jackson swung hard, topped that ball. Rolled lazily down toward third base, so Rolf was in fast, picked it up, and shot it like a bullet over to Lou Gehrig, and the Giants have one out. This round of applause is for Freddie Fitzsimmons. Freddie has had a grand season with the Giants. Steps into the batter's box. He's a right-hand hitter, also a right-hand pitcher. Hadley starts the wind-up on the first pitch to Freddie. It's a strike call. A nice sharp breaking curve ball that caught the outside corner of the plate. Guy at half of the third, one out, nobody on. Strike two. Fitzsimmons attempted to cross Rolf up by dumping a bunt down third. Stuck his bat out. Rolf came tearing in, but Fitz missed, and it's strike two. Hadley getting the signal. Now the windup. Strike three. He swings and misses. Bill Dickey whips the ball down to Rolf, to Cosetti, to Lazzari, to Gehrig, and then into the pitcher's box. Once more, we find the top of the Giant batting order coming up. That's Joe Moore, the left fielder. First time up, Joe banged a single. Left-hand hitter, and he steps into the batter's box. First half of the third inning, two out. Hadley winds up. Ball one. Very fast, sharp-breaking curveball is over the inside. Moore stepping away, and the count is one and nothing. The foul in the boxes in back of home plate. Ball one and strike one. Umpire tossed out a new ball. One that he tossed out, something was wrong with it, so he gets another one. Moore steps in the batter's box. Hadley has his signal. Ball one, strike one. There's a long drive. Deep into right field, Selkirk backing up. It's not in. Selkirk is under it. He takes it. That was out there near the barrier. 344 feet from home plate. Just in front of that, about 5 or 6 feet from going over the barrier where it was taken by Selkirk. In the Giant half of the third, no runs, no hits, and no errors. Tony Lazzari getting a nice round of applause. All giving the big round of applause. You know, it was Tony who hit that home run with the bags loaded. First time that a home run has been driven out with the bags loaded since the series of 1920 in the Cleveland-Brooklyn series when Elmer Smith banged that homer with three on. That was a famous game, incidentally, in which Bill Wambe turned in the unassisted triple play. That must be a thrill. Must be, it is. 1-0 in favor of the Yanks. Last half of the third. First pitch is a strike. Tony Lazzari has one hit out of 7 pitches to the plate of the series, but what a hit it was. Strike one. Strike two, ball. Very pretty curve ball coming at Lazzari, then breaking over the inside corner, and the count is 2-0. Bump Hadley will be the next hitter. Here it is. Outside. A curve ball misses the outside corner, and the count on Lazzari is strike two and ball one. He leads off in the last half of the third inning. Here it is.
Ball two.
A fastball was high inside. The count on Tony Lazzarri is strike two and ball two. First man up in the last half of the third inning. As the windup began, two and two. Strike three. Lazzarri swinging for distance, swung hard and missed a curve ball. It was low outside for a strikeout. One out, nobody on. Hadley coming up. Hadley gets a nice round of applause from the fans. Hadley's a right-hand batter. Last half of the third inning, one out, nobody on. Fitzsimmons first pitch to him. He hits it at the fly ball going toward right field. Ott back on the track. Under it, Ott takes it. Two out, nobody on. What a day for baseball. Again, the top of the Yankee batting order coming up. Frank Bozzetti, the shortstop, leadoff man. Comes up in the third inning. Last time up, Rossetti fly to Mellock. Two out, nobody on. Last half of the third, Fitzsimmons pitch. It's a strike call. A sharp breaking curve ball over the outside corner of the plate to a right-hand batter, and it was called. Walsh coming up next. Appears to be another hitter. Here it is. Ball one, a fastball is inside. Rossetti was all set to take a toe hold on that one, but it was high inside, and the count is ball one and strike one. The game is moving along fairly fast this afternoon. Last half of the third, two out. One and one the count. Strike two. Rossetti swings from way back, misses, and the count is strike two and ball one. Two and ball one. Last half of the third, two out, nobody on, and the score of the Yanks one, Giants nothing. Fitzsimmons winds up. Strike two, ball one. Strike three, ball. That's all for the Yankees in the third inning. No runs, no hits, and no errors. Two strikeouts that inning for the 30th Fitzsimmons.
This game is all coming to you from the Yankee Stadium in New York, the third game of the 1936 Blue Ribbon Classic between the Giants and the Yanks. The first two games at the Polo Grounds. These two, the next three will be played here at Yankee Stadium. Each of the clubs have won one game. The Yanks are out in front of the time with a score of 1-0. The result of that mighty home run by Lou Gehrig to sail 400 feet from home plate and over a 20-feet barrier. This is Tom Manning speaking. I've had the pleasure of broadcasting the play-by-play description of the first three innings. Now you're going to hear the voice of Red Barber of WLW Cincinnati. Red Barber.
Thanks a great deal, Tom. Bum Hadley has retired the last seven of the Giants that he's faced. Bum got off to a little bit of a shaky start in the top half of the first inning, but was saved by a very fast double play, Crusetti to Gehrig. And since then, he has been absolutely invincible, retiring the Giants in order in the second and third round, and striking out Fitzsimmons in the third. Freddie's no slouch up there with the Willows. So for New York, coming into the beginning of the fourth, it'll be Dick Bartel, who has three hits already in the World Series, to be followed by manager Bill Terry, who has five hits, and Bill so far has gotten a single each of the three series games on his initial appearance at the plate. And then will come Melvin Ott, who got two hits in the first game and has been stopped since. But Mel, the Louisiana Larifer, the boy wonder who broke in with the Giants under McGraw at the tender age of 17, is now a veteran and past the 10-year status, is always dangerous. Dick Bartel up. And this is a tight ball game and certainly a splendid exhibition of what a World Series game should be. Hadley winds up to liberty once, twice, delivers. Bartel takes inside on the letters for ball one. The first pitch of the fourth inning. Bartel stands there with his forward left foot right up against the plate. His right foot passed underneath him. The pitch. Dick swings in it. It's a high foul behind third. Ross is underneath it in coach's box waiting and squeezes it for the off. And Ross, after he caught that foul behind third base, shook his head very wryly as though to wring tears out of his eyes. The sky overhead is a very beautiful robin's egg blue with, as the boys say, very few angels in the form of clouds in it. It's a very tough sky for the players to look into. And left field at Yankee Stadium is the Sun Garden. Now Bill Terry's up, one out, nobody on. Hadley pitches, Terry left-hand hitter takes it under the chin for ball one. One away, base is empty, the Yankees ahead, 1-0. Hadley winds up, cuts it loose, Terry swinging, fouls it straight back onto the netting behind home. Now one apiece. Bill Terry, very grim visage, stands there now. Square off from the plate, midway in batter's box. Choking his bat just about an inch. It's a dirty, brown-looking stick. Though it's well-seasoned and been through the wars. Hadley pitches. Terry swinging. Hit the roller down to deep. Shortstop Cassetti up with it. A nice drop. The long throw is in by a step. And Terry is out. Cassetti to Gary. Terry, who doesn't throw very often and hits a lot to left in left center field, hit a laser right across the top of the grass, almost between the hole between Ross and Cassetti. Cassetti, fading quickly over to his right, went back into deep shortstop position, made a nice stop, and a very hurried long throw to Garrick, which was in there by a step. And now it's two away. And the batter is Mallott, hitting left-handed. Out steps into the pit, but takes it, and it's called strike one. Major Kurt bears vehemently, dragging that right hand of his skyward. When Mage calls a strike, everybody in the stadium sees it. Hadley winds up, comes down with it. Out takes outside, and it's one and one. One ball, one strike. Hadley has now retired the entire Giants batting order, without an exception. Terry was the last man to get on against it. He retired the last nine. The pitch to Ott is swung on. It's a high foul up behind third. Ross is under it, shading his eyes, waiting, and makes the catch. And he almost misjudged the step, but he faded over that last split second, that nth degree of what time was left to him, and brought it in. And for the third straight inning, Bunt Hadley has retired the Giants in order. Now the ball was hit out of the infield here in the top of the fourth. That is great pitching by Bunt Hadley. He's making that one-run lead, supplied by one swing by Lou Gehrig, stand up so far as though it were as big as a mountain. And now Freddie Fitzsimmons, game to the core, 34 years old, a veteran, very cool, and who has that knuckleball doing six today. He's in fine form with the exception of that one ball that he grew for Gehrig. He's limbering up with his battery mate, swarthy, blocky Gus Mancuso. This is going down. He's been spinning like a dervish out there on that mound. If you've seen Fitzsimmons pitch, you know what we are speaking of. He takes the ball from pitcher position, that is, has the ball in his glove at his waist, and then he spins on his right leg, twists on it until he is looking back over second into center field, and then spinning quickly back to the plate, and in the same motion, he cuts that ball loose. The secret of it is that Fitz gets his eye glued on his target before he ever takes it off. So when he turns back around, he's ready. He says he finds no trouble in the handling control. The first batter up in the last before the Dread Rock, left-hand hitter. Swing. It's a bouncer right at Whitehead, a hot one. Burgess has lots of time for the throw to Terry, and Ross is out, hitting the first ball, six last before. That one went down to second base. Not a bit faster than the elevated whistling behind right and right center field this afternoon. The batter is Joe DiMaggio. One away for the Yankees, last of the fourth. The Yankees ahead, thanks to Gehrig Homer. Back in the second, one to nothing. DiMaggio, right-hand hitter, steps, takes inside, ball one. DiMaggio waits until that ball is right up on top of him before he swings. He gets a lot of wrist motion in his work up there at the plate. The great young rookie waits, swings, fouls it right back off Mancuso's mitt. It bounds down onto the dirt, rolls toward third. Ball taken out of play and a new one put in. One and one to Joe. Simmons takes the ball from Mancuso, rubs it a bit. Just a little dirt. There's a little landscaping out there on the mound. The outfield is pulled a little toward left, about two steps on DiMaggio. It's been spin, pitches a change of pace low outside. And it's ball two, strike one. Fitzsimmons' change of pace is especially effective, coming out of the face of that spin that he uses. But he never spins when he has men on. Fitz takes off Mancuso, takes the second signal. Now he delivers. DiMaggio takes a low curve just above the knees, and it is called strike two. Two and two. And Joe, a little bit fooled on that one, walks out of batter's box. Joe's a dirt picker-upper. Gets a handful. Throws it away. Now walking up to the plate. Sort of relaxes, leans over, touches the heavy end down from the platter. Straightens up, cocks that bat. High into the air, ready. Up behind his right ear. Fitzsimmons spins, pitches. DiMaggio fades back on it at the shoulders inside. It's three and two. Three balls, two strikes. The control of the two pitches today has been very good. There's only been one base on ball, and that was given by Fitzsimmons right after Gehrig hit that homer. The 3-2 pitch is swung on, it's rolled foul behind first base. That was an inside pitch, which DiMaggio fell back from and tried to hit the right field. Slashed it foul behind first. Terry retrieves it, rubs it roughly between the palms of his hand, now returns it, goes back to his fielding post. There's a big hole between Terry and Whitehead. Terry's playing his usual fielding position behind first, and Whitehead is almost behind second. Fitzsimmons works. DiMaggio swinging at the whistling line, drive to left center field. It's a base hit. It's taken on the second hop by Ripple. The throw is coming in the second. DiMaggio is racing for it. DiMaggio makes it with a slide and is saved for a double. Spearman calling the play at second base. Now has a little bit of an argument on his hand. Bartell took the throw in, but Dick walks away. DiMaggio slid safely in for a double to left center field. That is just the second hit off Fitzsimmons. Ready, gave up only one hit before that double by DiMaggio, which was Garrick Homer. And speaking of Garrick, here he is at the plate. Now it's one away. The Yankees are leading 1-0 here in the last of the fourth inning. Garrick is up for a second try at 1-1, and DiMaggio leads down off second base with a double. Fitzsimmons pitches. Garrick takes a curve just above the knees for call strike one. The outfield is deep on Garrick and pulled around toward right. The infield is straight away, and the right side of it is a step deeper. DiMaggio walks down off second. He has about a 4.5 step lead. Fitzsimmons watches him. Comes down to pitching position. Said he isn't spinning. The pitch is outside, and it's 1-1. One ball and one strike. Lou Gehrig steps. Fitzsimmons up over his head. Working. And it's called strike two. Gehrig had a notion to go for it, then changed his mind. He who hesitates is lost, and Major Curse waved that right hand. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. One out. Gehrig, after being out of the box, steps back in. Steps. What a powerful-looking figure he is. Fitzsimmons delivers. It's a change of pace, swung on, and fouled into the upper tier of the stands behind home. Just to get a look at Gehrig as he stands there at the plate, and you can easily understand why he's hung up that endurance record. He looks every inch and every iota the Iron Man. Lou digs in, counts 1-2. Fitzsimmons delivers, and Gehrig swinging fouls this one back into the stands behind home. Still 1-2. Lou takes off his cap, mops his brow. The whole right side of the infield is in shade. That means the pitch in the batter, and not in the sun any longer. The pitch, Gehrig swinging at the roller, foul behind first base. That caused umpire Summers to do a little rope skipping down there. It was hit right at his feet, and he had to pick him up and lay him down. You know, when Gehrig fouls one after hitting it on the nose, you don't aim to leave your pet corns out there to be stepped on. Still 1-2. Gehrig steps, turned a little bit toward right field. Fitzsimmons looks back at DiMaggio at second. Jolie draw, long way. Freddie makes a pretense of going back to second, but there's nobody there, and Freddie holds it. Delivery, the change of pace, but Gehrig reaches out four fouls high up and back toward the Yankee dugout and into the first row of spectators. Mancuso came tearing back, but he could not quite get it. Still 1-2. Fitzsimmons standing behind the mound. Major just puts a new ball in play by way of managing first baseman Bill Terry. Out in left field, Joe Moore, who shifted over toward left center, sort of looks up at the sun, flips his sunglasses, looks through them. Ripple, out in center, busily running his bare hand around the palm of his glove. Now out backs up just about as deep as he can in right. Fitzsimmons now throws back to second base to Bartell, not quite in time. DiMaggio slid in under Bartell. Fitzsimmons can spin either way. He showed them that time. It's a 1-0 ball game in favor of the Yankees. It's the last half of the fourth inning. Here the third game of the World Series and the first at Yankee Stadium. One man out, DiMaggio second. The pitch to Gehrig is a fly ball out into right. Mellott is trying for it in right center on the center track, makes the catch, and DiMaggio halfway to third comes carrying back to second. And it's two gone. And of course, the crowd roared the moment that fly was peeled off of Gehrig's bat. They had seen him hit one into the spectators out in the sun sector in right center field. And so when that one started high, why, up went the crowd. But up went Mellott's right arm. A sure sign that it isn't going back into the stand. Count two away. DiMaggio still holding at second base. He doubled into left center field with one out here in the last four. He's the possessor of the second hit off Fitzsimmons. Both of these pitchers are really bearing down. The batter now is Bill Dickey, who was walked in the second inning. So far, the only free transportation of the game on either side. DiMaggio walked down off third. The pitch to Dickey, left-hand hitter, is right through there. Fitzsimmons came down with his fast one. Ball strike one. Dickey set. Standing a little bit close to the plate and right off on it. Doesn't tilt that bat. Simmons looks back toward second. Blows out his lip for a moment. Now takes a deep breath. Comes in the pitching position. Delivers to the plate. Dickey swinging at the roller right to Burgess Whitehead, who has it cleanly. The throw to Terry is in lots of time, and Dickey is out. And so ends the threat in the last half of the fourth inning. Quick with occasion by DiMaggio, doubling a line drive hit into left center field with one out. But Gehrig flew out to Mellott, and Dickey just was thrown out Whitehead to Terry. That is the first Yankee threat in the ballgame. In the second inning, there was no threat at all. Gehrig simply homered. And at the end of four innings, it is one run, two hits, and no errors for the Yankees. No runs, two hits, and no errors for the Giants. Bump Hadley, 185-pound, 32-year-old, 5'11", veteran right-hander, who won 14 ball games and lost four for the New York Yankees during this Senate race, which carried them right into this present World Series, is pitching right now a remarkable performance. He has retired the last 10 Giants in order, and there's been absolutely nothing goofy about it. He's had a lot of stuff. He's had great control. He has walked nobody. Now, as we open the beginning of the fifth, with the Yankees ahead 1-0, Hadley steps onto the mound, steps to pitch to Ripple, then Mancuso and Whitehead. Ripple, a left-hand hitter, is up. Now in the silence, it settles. Hadley prepares to pitch. You hear Frizzetti talking it up at short. Pitch is swung on. It's a drive deep out into right field. Seltzer goes back. He can't get it. It's in among the spectators for a home run by Ripple, and the ball game tied up. One of the happiest men in all this great city of New York at the moment has completed his jogging jaunt around those bases. A line drive home run into the sun seat in dead away right field over the 344-foot mark. And Selkirk almost climbed in amongst the spectators. So eager was he to try and flag it. And now the game is 1-1. The batter up is Gus Mancuso hitting right-handed. The series honors are tied up at one game for each club. And the score here in the top of the fifth is now tied up at 1-1. Hadley delivers. Mancuso swinging. Hits one. Back over shortstop into left field. It's a single. It's in there. Cassetti went back desperately, but he could not get it. It was a humpback line drive into left center field. Cassetti could not go back and get it. And Powell had no chance to come in for it. And Hadley, after allowing two singles and being saved by a double play in the first inning, then retires 10 Giants in order, but is greeted by the first batter up in the fifth, Ripple, for a home run, and then Mancuso follows with a single. That for Gus is his third hit in the series. Now the batter is Whitehead, hitting right-handed. Mancuso way off first. Whitehead fouls it behind first base on the ground for strike one. Hadley watches first, delivers. It's a roller hit down toward first. Gehrig picks it up, throws down to second base. It's a force of Mancuso, but there's no return to first. It was not time. Mancuso is forced at second base. Lou Gehrig to shortstop Cassetti, who covers. Mancuso was cleanly out. Fourth out at second. First to short. And Whitehead is on first base by the field of choice. The game tied 1-1. Travis Jackson, the Giants captain and third baseman, steps up to the plate, a right-hand hitter. Hadley steps. He's a big fellow. Jackson waits in a crouch, right-hand hitter at the plate. And the pitch is inside. There goes Whitehead for second base, and he is out attempting to steal. Thrown out, Dickey to shortstop Cassetti. Whitehead was sent down to steal, and he was cut down. Bill Dickey threw a strike to the inside corner of second base, and Cassetti put that ball right in on Whitehead. Whitehead attempting to steal is cut down. Now two away for the Giants. The batter is Jackson. The count is one ball, no strike. Top of the fifth inning, and the ball game is locked up 1-1. Hadley pitches. Strike one. Call. It's above the knees. Curve that bit at the outside corner. Hadley composed himself. Takes a deep breath on the mound. Right field steps toward left on Jackson. The pitch. Call strike two. Jackson taking. One ball, two strikes. One and two, one ball, two strikes to Jackson. Two out, nobody on. Try to take outside, a fast one. Two and two. Take it down in his cross. Straightens up. Major Kirk leans over to catch the shoulders, looking for the pitch. Jackson takes a low curve outside, and it's three and two. Three balls and two strikes. Hadley hasn't passed the batter this afternoon. Now he can't afford to waste another one. Hadley pitches. Outside for ball four, and Jackson walks to first base with two men out and nobody on in the top of the fifth inning with the game tied at 1-1. And this brings up Fitzsimmons, the pitcher. There's a pause for Freddie. Freddie walks solidly up to the plate. He walks a little bit pigeon-toed, but he can still cover ground. He's a big fellow. 90 pounds, right-hand batter. Hadley pitches, and Fitzsimmons swings and misses. He took a cut. Strike one. The outfield on Fitzsimmons, for all intents and purposes, straight away. The batter deep. That's a pretty good batter for a pitcher. Gehrig holds the inside corner on Jackson. Harris leads off two steps, two and a half. Hadley pitches to the plate. Swing on and misses. Change of pace curve inside on the fingers. Strike two. Nothing in two. And Fitzsimmons stands there looking at Hadley as if to say, what was that you threw me at last? Fitzsimmons was struck out in the third inning. Throwing the other time up. The pitch. It's a roller to third base, which bounds up over Ralph's head out in the left field. Jackson's around second, coming to third. Fitzsimmons holds it first. Jackson slides into third base. And, of course, it's a pebble hit for Fitzsimmons. And now with the game tied at 1-1. With the game tied at 1-1, Jackson is at third base. Fitzsimmons is at first. Joe Moore is at the plate, a left-hand batter. That was a hard ground ball hit two on a line to third baseman Ralph of the Yankees. And just as it was in front of Ralph as he was set for the ball to come up on the bounce, it bounded. But bounded about 2 feet over his head. And so quickly that Red was handcuffed. He had no chance to lift his glove and try for it. The ball went out into left field for a single, advancing Jackson to third and putting Fitzsimmons on first. And the batter is left-hand hitter Joe Moore. He singled past third in the first inning for his only hit in the series. Hadley pitches. Moore fouls it back onto the ground into the Giants' dugout. Now will that sole walk that Hadley has so far today given up come back home to plague him and cost him here in the top of the fifth. It's a 1-1 tie, and the way these pitches are going, most any break, almost any inning, may be the decider of this third game of the series. Moore waits, Hadley delivers, and Joe swinging, hit the roller back to the box. Hadley has it, throws over to first, and Moore is out. And so ended the threat. The game remains tied at 1-1. And that was a hectic inning, to put it mildly, the top of the fifth. After two men were out, a walk to Jackson, a pebble single by Fitzsimmons that's bounded over third baseman Ralph's head in the left field, sending Jackson around to third, putting Fitz on first, and then Moore bounding rather gently back to the box. And Hadley accepted that one as manna from heaven. The throw to first base was thrown with much coolness, wasn't rattled in the slightest, and with unerring accuracy. And a sweep of Gehrig's mitt, and so ends the top of the fifth.